at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's Brian Hadley, Mark Zander on ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'd rather have my Bulls in first place, but slipped up a little bit. I think the Grizzlies just grabbed another offensive rebound and scored.
Wow. Yeah, that was unfortunate to watch. We just don't have enough tools on the floor, and that's what's making it tough to beat those good teams. Meanwhile, Morant, wow. He made such a move in the waning seconds of the first half. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe what I saw.
It was just warming up for 20 points in the third quarter. I mean, the Bulls had, what, 6 good minutes, basically, their 14-0 run. But
yep.
Last time I checked, good teams are in the playoffs, right? And yep. Teams with winning records are in the playoffs. And it's great that they're now only one game behind Miami for first place and sets up the big tilt tomorrow against the Heat down in Miami. But, you know, this is the trend's not your friend here when you just can't beat the best teams in the league. You're feeding off low-hanging fruit. And if you're legitimate, they're fun to watch. It's a great story. I love watching their TV ratings are up 83% because they're a fun team and a much better team than we've certainly seen in the last few years. But
yeah.
It's a little concerning that when a good team is on the floor with you, you end up in the loss column.
Well, it's all about your expectations, right, Brian? And a couple of years ago, we never thought we would be even this close where we are right now. And again, not having Lonzo, not having Caruso, Patrick Williams is a big miss. What would this team be like if all hands were on deck? We don't know. But DeRozan still is just performed great. Yeah, that wasn't enough yesterday, especially, you know, with a few seconds left, he had that giveaway. But, you know, it's all in the expectations, and I would love to see him in the playoffs. We don't know if this is going to happen. We don't know, Ball is further out than Caruso is, and this is going to be interesting coming down the line. But you're right. We have to beat the good teams, and we're not doing that, and that is
You're in 6-14 against top 6 teams in their conference.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so you know it's great you're only a game back and you go through the injuries, and certainly you can excuse, you know, they haven't been healthy and they haven't had a full contention. I get it. And where would they be without DeRozan, who, you know, 10 straight games with 30 plus points?
Exactly right.
But that said, you got to be better than that against good teams, and you can't let Ja Morant have a career high 46 points. You can't let Steven Adams take over a quarter. You can't. And look, the Grizzlies are a good team, and they lead the league in offensive rebounds and second chance points. And you knew that coming in, and they showed you why, because they did it again yesterday. So 20 second chance points. This is the first game and maybe the entire season where I kind of questioned Billy Donovan's strategy at the end. You've got 14.9 seconds left. You're down 3. And you have DeRozan, you drop a play where you want to get him in the paint, drive into the hoop. Now, he claims he was fouled. He didn't get the foul. He gets upset. He gets tossed. But you're down 3. You have a timeout. I get it. So you get the 2 there. You're still down 1. Now maybe there's 12, 11 seconds left, right? I guess you're hoping to get the foul, but he didn't. And you didn't even get the hoop. So now you're gonna steal the ball in the inbounds, or you're going to, you know, what good is the timeout when they have the ball, right? You're going to have to foul. And so you're down 3 again. I didn't understand the strategy. I really didn't.
Yeah, the end of the game was very, very confusing. Obviously DeRozan was the guy to go to, but it didn't work out this time. It is going to be a situation. If they get a taste of the playoffs and they cannot beat those good teams, they're going to be out pretty quick. And that's if they get a taste of the playoffs. That game against the Heat tomorrow is going to be a real test.
Well, especially taste with who's not playing. I mean, I get there. You know, there's only five games between number one seed and seven seed, but I mean, it would take a major collapse.
Well, it would. And look, I'm always going to err on the side of caution. I am not going to assume anything. And I'm sure you're right. They'll probably will.
You don't think they're going
to
be the playoffs?
No. I didn't say. What I'm saying to you is, I'm just not going to take anything for granted. I'm hoping that there's not a collapse. But you know, if they don't beat these good teams, the taste of the playoffs is going to be very brief.
Well, yeah, okay. If they're, you know, you make the argument they could be an early out if that. But they, as you mentioned, maybe the timeline isn't as optimistic for Ball, but Caruso should be back here at least doing stuff in a week or so. You only have 21 games left, right? So it's not that much time, but you would like to get at least a couple of those guys back and helping out. The good news is, I mean, I was a little concerned seeing Zach after the All-Star break on the game Thursday night, you know, kind of feeling his way back into it. But after the first quarter last night, he started looking like Zach LaVine again. So that was encouraging because I was a little concerned that maybe the knee was still – and he said it's going to be an issue the rest of the season. But I was glad to see him start getting in rhythm after the first quarter last night.
Well, after three quarters of the season or a little more than half of the season gone away, somebody's going to be banged up. And we just know that Zach is really, really banged up, and it is going to be an issue the rest of the way. It's just how much can we get out of him during this last 21 games, or you said 21, 24, whatever it is, games 21. Of the season, 21, okay. And how much are we going to get out of him, and how much is that going to make a difference when you don't have a Lonzo Ball? We'll get Caruso back, and hopefully that will make a difference. I mean, most of the year we've been playing without a key piece, it seems. And, you know, again, you know, to some, we're a little ahead of schedule. But we would certainly like to see them have some success in the playoffs. But if they are an early out, that is going to be attributed to, I think, the injuries and them growing as a team. And hopefully next year they'll get it together because, you know, they've got a lot of upside, obviously. And if we can get everybody healthy with the team that we have right now, you know, we've seen them have some success without key pieces.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You said ahead of schedule, and there's certainly that. My buddy Casey Johnson had a really interesting sit down with Michael Reinsdorf, Bulls boss man, COO, and he said going into next season, if they would, he and Jerry Reinsdorf would happily pay the luxury tax if they believe they have a team that's going to contend for a title. And you know, so with Zach LaVine's contract on the table in the offseason, he's going to get more than $200 million no matter. And if he makes all NBA, he can get a supermax contract. But it's good to hear that ownership believes that because of this, you know, transformational season that the front office put together. We'll take a listen to some of the Michael Reinsdorf answers to Casey's great questions, because with the Blackhawks going through rebuilding a front office and hopefully within the week naming a new GM or giving Kyle Davidson the permanent title, and the Bears having just gone through it, there was some really good insight from Michael Reinsdorf about how he landed AK and what sold him on that, and kind of the machinations of ownership when they're looking at candidates and what they expect. And it sure looks like the Bulls got it right. Hawks fans are hoping the Blackhawks get it right. Although yesterday on the Hockey Show, Mark, PB and I had a Twitter poll question with the three finalists that they've acknowledged in Matthew Darsh from the Tampa front office, Kyle Davidson, and then Jeff Greenberg, the outside the box thinking, because he's an assistant GM with Chicago Cubs. And it was interesting. The fourth choice was none of the above, and none of the above got as many, was tied for second after Darsh. So Hawks fans weren't overly impressed with that.
Well,
list.
Can you say you're surprised? Are you somebody that sticks out on that list for you?
Yeah, because there's no one with experience. I mean, Kyle Davidson has the experience of the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, but Matthew Darsh hasn't run the show in Tampa, and Jeff Greenberg hasn't run a baseball front office, though he's been part of a successful one with the Chicago Cubs. So it is interesting because there's, you know, all Bears fans seemingly are optimistic that the Bears finally got it right, but we have nothing to base that on other than how impressive.
That's just pure optimism.
Yeah, right.
That's just pure optimism right there. That's all that is.
But it is, you know, interesting because where would this Bulls team be without DeMar DeRozan, given the injuries, given Zach being out with the knee, given, you know, Caruso being out, Ball being out, the up and down nature of the NBA season. No one saw DeMar DeRozan coming through with the run he's come and the leadership he's brought off the floor, but certainly the offensive production he's brought on the floor. And Stephen A. Smith should be his campaign manager for MVP because he was on First Take the other day. And take a listen to what he had to say. He is firmly, firmly in the corner of DeMar DeRozan for MVP.
DeMar DeRozan has held them up and then some. I want to announce to the basketball world, We look at Joel Embiid. I had him number one. Jokic is not somebody to dismiss or whatever. But I am telling y'all right now, nobody, and I do mean no one, can be definitively placed ahead of DeMar DeRozan for league MVP honors. He is doing his thing.
Doing his thing indeed.
You know, and I can't disagree with him.
He didn't get his 35 points last night.
There's a lot of...
Go ahead.
There's some stiff competition there, Brian. Yeah, there's some stiff competition there. And although I think here us fans in Chicago are like, yes, we're all about DeRozan being an MVP. I didn't think he would get that kind of national attention. I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, as well as should, because, I mean, look, that 10-game stretch of plus 30-plus points, and then he had an 8-game stretch snap last night where he had 35 points or more plus 50% shooting. That's just unbelievable, I mean, what he's doing there. It is interesting if you look at some of the Vegas odds on MVP. Embiid is currently the favorite. You get plus 135. Jokic is plus 270. The Greek Freak is plus 440. DeRozan comes in fourth at plus 1,000. And Ja Morant, who put on the clinic last night, and a lot of people believe that, you know, he should be firmly in the conversation, he shows up sixth on this list.
That's unbelievable seeing what he did last night. That really is.
So who's your MVP? You can go to our Twitter poll at ESPN 1000 and weigh in. And is it Embiid? Is it Jokic? Is it DeRozan? Or the fourth choice is basically the field. Is it somebody else? You can also give us a call and tell us who and why, 312-332-3776. And speaking of who and why, we're going to be talking to Jesse Rogers top of the hour, because he's down in Florida. Was this day 87, 88 of the lockout? And MLB owners have put
lost track.
Yeah, well, they put this deadline of tomorrow that they're going to start canceling games, but they're not making them up, and so players aren't going to get paid. And last night, everything just seemed to fall apart and get so hostile. The players talked about not coming back today, but then they said they will come back, and they are so far apart on all the major issues. It sure seems like it's going to damage the beginning of the season. Certainly, it's damaged spring training already. So are you upset? If they start canceling games tomorrow and hold to their word that they're not making them up, are you going to be upset as a baseball fan? Are you going to hold the owners accountable? Are the players just as culpable in this thing? Do you even understand all the stuff that they're not talking about? Because it seems like all the major issues they are miles apart on right now, Mark.
Yeah, they are, and it's really disappointing to see them. You know, this last minute intense, oh, we're going to meet every day, that's been a frustration point for me now, because it seems like it's about a month too late. And then secondly, for them to be hanging up on some of this stuff when there are some big money being thrown around, and this is something we can get into with Jesse when he joins us at 11 a.m. The owners have the money. We know they have the money. They're choosing not to throw it around the way that, you know, the MLB union or the players union wants them to, because the money's there. And we'll get around to talking that. We'll talk about that, and we'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Who's your NBA MVP? You know, is it DeRozan? Is it somebody that is not wearing a Bulls jersey? You know, what do the Bulls have to do to make the playoffs and have some sustained success? Join us here on ESPN 1000. We're going to take a break. It's Xander and Hanley. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley right there. I'm Mark Xander. This is ESPN 1000, of course, the ESPN app. You can find us there. Listen live on HDR 100.3 HD2 on your FM dial, crystal clear, and AM 1000. So last night, the Bulls dropped one to the Grizzlies here in town, 116-110. And previous to that, they won Thursday. They beat Atlanta. Now, they've got a big test tomorrow, Brian, in the Heat, who have really picked it up this year.
Yeah. I mean, now the first place Heat in the Eastern Conference. So it's certainly you want to get back in the top spot in the East. You go ahead and beat them on the floor tomorrow. But we're also 2 years into the process, coming up on 2 years into the hiring of AK, Arturis Karnavicius, or Karnavis rather, and Mark Eversley, and the redoing the entire front office for the Chicago Bulls. And as I mentioned, the Blackhawks are coming down to the home stretch of getting a new GM, who apparently will also do a renovation of the organization on the hockey ops side. And the Bears have their new GM and coach in place, so we'll see how that plays out.
But you know what, Brian? I will say this, though. When AK was hired, that was like, wow, immediately, right? There is no wow possibility with the Blackhawks.
No. They, whatever, if Kyle Davidson keeps the job and it's no longer the interim, I mean, look, he's got some pieces to trade. If he were to trade, I think, Marc-Andre Fleury has to tell him if he's willing to go, and they have a gentleman's agreement, they'll do whatever he wants. And he certainly has a list of 10 places he doesn't have to go to per his contract. But, I mean, Brandon Hagel, you have some chips, certainly, to DeBrincat. But, you in a perfect world, you want to build around Hagel and DeBrincat. I think, Flower, you have to get whatever you can for him. If it's a first-round pick, terrific. But whoever it is, Kyle Davidson, or if it's Jeff Greenberg or Matthew Darche, any of those finalists are going to have some heavy lifting to do, just like Ryan Poles has to do with the Chicago Bears. Right. But AK, I mean, 2 years into the job here, he's redone the front office. And within a year, he's redone the roster to the point where TV ratings are up 83% because it's actually a good team to watch.
And he had some heavy lifting right off the bat, and he pulled it off. And it's a great it's great to aspire to. We certainly hope that Poles and his staff is going to have that kind of impact, immediate impact, that AK has, and that's the hope. But right now, that's what we're measuring everything against, right?
I mean, you looked at the Bears and they got a lot of criticism because all of a sudden George McCaskey was leaning on an older Bill Polian to come in. And, even though he did great things in the league, he hadn't been doing it for a dozen years or so. And people are like, how's that going to help you? But, it's seemingly, no one cast a wider net than the Bears did in terms of coaches and GM interviews, right? So
right.
Hopefully, but it was interesting. And I retweeted Casey Johnson's Bulls Talk podcast from NBC Sports Chicago. You can find it at Brian Hanley 534. And I want to give you a couple slices of Michael Reinsdorf. We don't get to hear from Michael a lot, but just his thought process when he was looking to restart the Bulls and how it landed on AK and what went into it. Let's take a listen.
I think you're right. I think if the season actually ended today, I think Arturis would have to be considered as likely executive of the year. It would be an incredible honor for him, and I would think it would be very, very deserving. I kind of wish they would change it from executive of the year to front office staff of the year, because there really are a lot of people on our staff have made a big impact. When we interviewed Arturis and ultimately hired him, I think we were very confident that he was the right person for the job. But over the last couple of years, he's really demonstrated that our confidence was definitely warranted. And for me, it's easy to look at the roster, understand that, and look at our record, but I see it for other reasons as well. He's built a winning culture in basketball operations. He didn't come in guns a-blazing and fire everyone when he took over. He took his time to learn everyone's strengths and weaknesses And then he made some adjustments with the staff. And then he had the fortitude and smartness to bring in some really terrific people like Mark Eversley, our GM, Pat Connolly, J.J. Polk, and a number of other high-quality people. So I think they've done a great job. I'm really happy that our tourist isn't afraid to make a mistake, and I think he and his staff are incredibly creative, and I think that's shown itself over the last couple of years.
You know, he said, Michael said that he knows basketball, but he's not an expert at basketball. So it's always good to know what you don't know, right?
And right, right. And then to hire the right people, to be smart enough to hire the right people to take it from there. That's all we can hope for out of Halas Hall. But we don't have to worry about that right now. The Bulls are showing that their biggest Achilles heel is the fact that they don't have a couple of key players that could definitely – you know, add to the effort of getting past these good teams, because that's what's going to have to happen in the playoffs.
Well, Michael also talked about getting those good players. And first of all, he said he hired a smart guy in AK. So during the process, he realized how smart AK is and you know, who he was listening to, and that he has contacts throughout the league. I mean, he knows every other front office and teams, other teams' strengths and weaknesses. But talking about also building that roster and the big splash he made on draft day to get Vucevic. Take a listen, because, you know, even Michael Reinsdorf is in awe about the transformation on this roster in very short order.
I would say that his ability to collect information, I think he's very knowledgeable about so many different things that are going on in the league and with other teams that kind of surprised me. But you know, his ability to get people in a room and talk through the issues and then make the decision, like, he's so definitive on it. And I think he's got a lot of conviction in what he's doing. And, I like that. I really didn't realize how creative he would be. You know, that's not something I thought, like, oh, is he going to be the most creative person? And, you know, I just knew I was hiring a really smart basketball person who I felt was going to build and lead an organization. It's the role of head of basketball operations has changed over the years. It's a much more difficult role than it used to be. And a lot of it has to do with managing people. As these organizations grow with so many different people, you have to be able to manage people and lead. And he is an incredible leader. He is very active. He's always working, and he's always trying to connect with people. And I like the fact that many times I'll be working out on the Peloton over at the Advocate Center watching practice, and every day that there's practice, there's someone from the basketball operations department down there. Usually it's Arturis and Mark. They're always talking to the different players and different coaches. They have a great pulse of what's going on with the team, and it's fun to watch.
Do you have an example of his creativity?
Well, we all have examples of his creativity. I mean, like, we last year at the free agent at the trading deadline, you know, he pulled the trigger on Vooch, but what people don't know is that on that board he had circled DeMar DeRozan, and when the season ended and free agency started, I mean, we had no ability to sign. We had no cap space, but he was incredibly creative in how he created space through the sign and trade. And so his creativity is shown with his team. Most people criticize that signing because they, you know, in their mind, we were signing another, you know, kind of another Zach LaVine. So what were we doing? It wouldn't work. You know, only one person could have the ball. Well, I think this roster is incredibly creative.
It really is. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Right. Isn't it nice to have your boss just gush about you? I mean, at least we have one example of that here in the city right now.
Well, just think, because GMs always have to look big picture. And so on the trade deadline day, he's going to make the trade, pull the trigger on the trade that's going to be big enough and headline you know, catching enough. But to say, and by the way, we're going to get DeRozan eventually, and here's how we're going to do it. and then to have DeRozan be your MVP candidate instead of Zach LaVine.
I mean, right.
It's not just happenstance. It's just not luck. It's a smart guy having a plan and executing it.
And let's give Billy Donovan a lot of credit too. I'm impressed. I mean, last night, you know, we had talked about the end of the game and the strategy and everything, but overall, I'm impressed that he's been able to, you know, get these guys on the same page and deal with all these injuries and be in the spot that they're in right now. It could certainly be worse, obviously.
Oh, he's a professional coach. And you know, Jim Boylan was, you know, a high school coach trying to coach pros.
Oh, that was such a joke.
Fred Hoiberg can't even get Nebraska to win a game. I mean, you think about, you know, people who've been sitting at the end of that bench and wondering why the Bulls ship has just been listing to into nowhere. Because, you know, because Gard loved Fred Hoiberg for whatever reason and paid him as if he'd won an NBA title as a coach. And you know, the guy was a nice guy, but he was so overmatched. And then Jim Boylan took it to a different level. And so, yeah, Billy Donovan, you just look at him and you know he's got it handled. And he had it handled in Oklahoma City.
Absolutely. 312-332-3776. Taking your calls about the Bulls. You want to talk about last night's game. You want to talk about DeRozan being in the conversation for NBA MVP. As you said on First Take, he got a pretty important national vote. I mean, important in that he's getting attention, which is really nice because here in the city, you know, yeah, he's our MVP, but how is that looking from the outside? And people are noticing what DeRozan's doing for the Bulls here. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers joins us at 11 a.m. We'll also get around to talking about a couple of people you may know that used to work for the Chicago Bears that are now employed somewhere else. And we're going to get your opinions on that. All of that and more here on ESPN 1000. You're with Xander and Hanley.
White to inbound. Williams deterring. Into DeRozan. Looking for the two. Fakes, moves, and lost it in traffic. You got a foul now. And LaVine will foul Morant up the floor with 5.3 remaining. And DeRozan just got tossed out of the game with his second technical foul.
Well, Brian, that was the right guy to go to, just wasn't the right play drawn up. Bad situation. He gives up the ball, gets thrown for a technical, and the Grizzlies beat the Bulls by a final of 116-110 at the UC last night. It's ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley right there. I'm Mark Xander. Brian is reachable on Twitter at Hanley. Is it B. Hanley? Now I blanked out. I say this every week. What is it?
at Brian Hanley 534.
534. That's the only part I got. I thought it was a B Hanley. And I'm Xander Rocker. That's Xander with one R in the middle. Xander Rocker, all one word, at on Twitter. And ESPN 1000, obviously, on Twitter, where we have a couple of Twitter polls. And the one that I want to bring up right now is, who is your NBA MVP right now? And we've got other, which a lot of people always use. If we give them the other, they'll take
only,
the other.
Twitter only allows you four.
Yeah, and they, right. So, you know what, if you have more than four, you've got to throw other in the fourth slot. DeMar DeRozan, Jokic, and Embiid. So, look, DeMar DeRozan has done nothing but impress. Last night, that's not consistent with what DeMar DeRozan has done for us. And, you know, he's the main reason we're at where we are right now because of the injuries. You've got Zach LaVine, a walking injured, and then you've got players that aren't even seeing the floor. Ball and Caruso, and Caruso set to come back hopefully sooner than later.
Well, look, DeRozan did all he could in the fourth quarter because that's what he's owned the fourth quarter. Single-handedly he's put how many
But it's so hard to keep going to him.
Well, you know, I mean, he started cold, and then he ended up with 13 points in the fourth quarter. He got his 31 points, but only 10 of 29 shooting. And it'll be interesting when the NBA puts out its last two-minute report for last night's games, because he thought he was fouled on the steal, and let his feelings be known, and he got the second technical and was told to get to the locker room a little bit earlier. But that said, they went on the 14-0 run and they pull it to within a hoop. after being down as many as 17. But once again, it's a good team, and they have their hands full against good teams. And that is a concern as you start looking to the postseason, and only 21 games away. But you got to be better against winning teams. And, you know, as you get healthier, maybe that helps. But it's been more than a trend right now to the season where you're 6-14 against top six teams in either conference.
It'd be interesting to see when Caruso does come back, if his defensive touch, you know, also with Io and his defensive game, if that is going to make the small difference they need to start winning against these winning teams. And then hopefully Ball coming back will just slot right in to where he usually is. This will be kind of interesting to see how it shapes up, because I think Caruso can add that extra part that will start getting us over the hump. And hopefully we can get more out of LaVine too, even though he's dealing with an injury that is not going to go away.
Well, Io got schooled a little bit yesterday from Morant, but who hasn't been, right? So, I mean,
right.
He certainly has made his campaign for MVP legit, whether or not Vegas has him as among the favorites. When you watch him put in a career-high 46 points, you shake your head and wonder, how that guy's been pretty damn good for all the entire season here. So,
yep. Yeah. And we've got some audio from Coach Billy Donovan about last night.
I want to look at the tape. I hadn't had a chance to see the play. Really, I thought with a little bit more than 14 seconds, what I didn't want to do was to bomb a three and maybe miss or get a tough shot. I wanted to get something to the rim, so tried to get DeMar in the middle of the floor. I think we got it to him where we needed to. Obviously, he felt like he had gotten foul. I know he kind of spun back into some help, but we just were trying to get something downhill to try to get a quick score. And then from there, you know, if it's a one-point game, we still have one timeout. Maybe we can press, or if they call timeout, we can try to maybe get a trap and a quick steal or something, if that's possible. If not, you know, they make two free throws or one free throw, you call timeout. It's still a one-possession game. So, you know, it was unfortunate the way that last possession unfolded, being down three. But, you know, got it to DeMar in the middle of the floor. And, I mean, you know, he's been just incredible for us from that area the whole entire year. And it just, it didn't work out.
Well, I tell you, Brian, it's so refreshing to get somebody like Billy Donovan who can break things down where you can understand. He's not rambling all over the place. And,
yeah,
you know,
no,
it was
selling.
A great right. None of that. None of that.
And Nagy, you know, we've got to figure out the whys and blah, blah, blah. Look, and to me, the only thing about that, and it sounds very logical the way he lays it out.
Yep.
Everyone knows who's getting the ball. So why not kick it out and bomb a three since you are down three? It, to my way of thinking.
Not Vooch, though.
No. And by the way, I mean, he was a minus 18 last night. At least Tristan Thompson was plus 14. I know a lot of people don't go for plus minus in the NBA. They don't even do it in hockey much anymore. But my point is that you heard him. Okay, so we get the two, and maybe we get a foul. But if not, we trap them, and then we have a timeout. I mean, that's a lot of things had to go right in the final 12 seconds or so. And you didn't even get this, you know, you lose the ball, and so you don't even need the timeout, and you know, then you lose your superstar in the waning seconds. But for the most part, I mean, I don't question Billy Donovan. I just thought that a lot of things had to happen there. To me, you know, if you want to drive to the rim, go ahead, but also kick it out to the perimeter and see if someone can bomb a three.
Yeah, well, right, and it's something that he did. He wanted to avoid and go to DeRozan. And you've got a great point. Everybody knows where it's going. He's been our hero in the fourth quarter. Chip in Villa Park wants to talk about Billy Donovan on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chip.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, just over the course of time that Donovan's been here and listening to him speak, how he describes what he sees on the floor, how he manages his team, the professionalism by which he goes about the job, I think has been some of the most refreshing I've heard in years. And I started to think about all Chicago managers, head coaches that we've had. Now, granted, I know he has not won a title or anything, but based on his resume, pedigree, and how he's handled things, could he be the most professional head coach we've seen in the city of Chicago for any team we've had out? Well, I think maybe Quinville would be a good guy too in that, in that sense, in terms of running a team, but maybe over the last 30 years, certainly in the Bulls case, I would say Thibodeau, for as hard as he had those guys play, I think overextended minutes, he had issues that you could look at. You know, when I look at the Cubs, people would say, well, Madden won a World Series, but we saw how he managed pitching staffs and how they won Game 7 in spite of him instead of because of him. Ozzie, I think, as manager, when the Sox won the World Series, was more a product of the talent. He was a right guy for the right moment, but as we've seen post, it kind of fizzled on him. You know, he never really has been a great manager, seemed to have gotten one great year. And that's why I looked at Donovan and wondered, is this perhaps the most professional guy we've had come in to run an organization or oversee one? Like I said, maybe in the last 30 years in Chicago.
What about Lovie?
But can you throw Lovie?
Well, Lovie here, I'll argue this with Lovie because I went back and looked at his record. You know, in his career as a Bears head coach, he was 10 games under 500 against teams with 500 or better records. So when we all praise Lovie for being a great head coach and look what he did, he won the games he was supposed to, but against the teams he needed to, he couldn't. And when I looked at that, I was amazed to see that he was 10 games under 500 against teams with 500 or better records.
See, and that, it's an interesting point. Thanks, Chip.
Thanks, Chip.
By the way, who is your MVP in the NBA right now?
Have to be DeRozan.
Okay, I mean, right now our Twitter poll looks like a Cook County Democrat running unopposed. thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
Oh, see, I'm not looking at the results. Are you peeking in already?
Yeah.
Come on. Don't spoil the surprise. You got to wait till the end of the show.
Oh, okay. That's my job to do, man.
You're taking things away from Jake.
Let's check in with Dean before. I'd like to follow up that Lovie point for a second, but Dean, our buddy's out there. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Dean.
I'm sorry. Oh, Brian. Hey, guys, Dander and Brian, right?
Yes, yep. Sir.
I'm sorry, guys. I was making sure it was you. I was just hitting the vape pen, and I was
okay. Yeah, it's us.
I was choking up a bit, but I.
Sorry to catch you mid vape.
No, I'm sorry about that. I was just talking to Jake, and before I get to my MVP point, I wanted to say that I love Tyler Aki, the chosen one, choosing Kyle. I texted him yesterday. I said, "What do you got for me?" He chose Colorado over Arizona. I mean, come on, that's some
Colorado was at home getting about 8-10 points. What was the final line there?
I believe, you know what, he told me to take the I don't know if he told me to take the money line or the line, but I had to imagine it was at least 8.5, right?
Yeah. Boy, Tyler's been on it.
Who's your NBA MVP right now?
Absolutely. To get to my NBA MVP vote, so I was telling Jake that I believe that every year, just like it was with Shaq and LeBron and probably still should be, I believe that it should be Jokic. But I think it's going to go to Embiid. That's my guess. Take that!
All right, Dean. All right. Don't spend your money on the Colorado winnings in one place. Tyler, by the way, went to Syracuse, and I was texting with him the other night, and Syracuse was laying 9.5. And Tyler, he doesn't bet with his heart. He took the points with Georgia Tech. The alma mater doesn't matter when his money's out of line. So.
No, well, and that's the way it should be if you're a smart bettor. But see, that's why I'm not a smart bettor.
Yeah, I told him yesterday. It was Marquette struggled to beat Butler, and that's an awful Butler team. And you know, here's Marquette's problem. My alma mater. They swept Villanova two games this year. They had, seven quad one wins. And they were starting to get notice and a little notoriety and a little national attention. And all of a sudden, they're a little too diva for me. All of a sudden, Shaka Smart's got to, give them a kick in the rear end and tell them they're not as good as they think they are. And they've been stumbling more often, and they're not hustling. So I know it's a long season, but, what got them to – the national attention was short-lived because I think they were starting to enjoy it a little too much. But, Tyler's our college basketball guru, and we're getting to that point the conference tournaments are upcoming in a few games, so it'll be a lot of fun to be talking to him and getting his thoughts on who the teams to be laying money on as you get into the tournaments.
Earlier and after when we come back from break, we will expound on what Chip brought up to us as far as over the past 30 years in Chicago. His original question was, or a comment was Billy Donovan seems really professional in the way he coaches the team and relates to the media. And that's kind of the angle that I thought he took. And then he kind of threw Lovey a bit under the bus because of his record against above 500 teams, which I thought was a different direction. I think Lovey was a guy who ran that team well and did work with the media. Okay. So we can get into that, Brian, because you wanted to bring up another point. We'll do that. Jesse Rogers coming up at 11 a.m. talking about how we still don't have baseball and how things just seem to be going backwards. All of that and more here on ESPN 1000. It's Brian Hanley. It's Mark Zander. We'll be right back. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Tickets for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland are on sale now. Head to nusports.com for details. It's Mark Zander. It's Brian Hanley. This is ESPN 1000. We're going to get around to talking to our guy Jesse Rogers at 11 a.m. about what's happening in Jupiter, Florida, or what's not happening in Jupiter, Florida. I saw him do a stand-up on ESPN National yesterday on TV. He cleans up okay.
Oh, yeah. Our guy Jesse. I mean, yeah. At least he's getting something done down there. Why Jupiter? I don't know. I'll have to ask him. Obscure place in Florida.
We will have to ask him. And I got to tell you, Brian, nice choice on the GIF or GIF. Do you say GIF or GIF?
I don't know. I always get in trouble when I start saying that stuff.
Well, nice choice on that because you got Judge Judy slamming her desk and pointing to her watch. That is who I want involved in the negotiations.
Oh, boy.
I want her as a mediator.
It's remarkable. We'll talk to Jesse. But the owners are now tying. Okay, so they're adamant they're going to get their 14 playoff teams because that's more money in their cash registers, right?
Sure.
You know, TV money and concession money, ticket money, and all that. So for them for the players are trying to stop or to disincentivize tanking, where a third of the league is tanking every year just because they don't want to pay people and they want to get draft picks and everything else. So
and they're making enough money losing. Let's face it, right?
So
they're making plenty of money being losers.
But, I mean, the players' union's like, you know, okay, here, we need a weighted lottery like the NBA, NHL has. So you can't be the worst team and get the top pick because, you know, we're going to get rid of that. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do that for maybe the top six teams. But in order for us to give you that, you have to give us the 14 playoff games. I mean, what a disconnect, right? I mean –
yeah, you know, it's one step. You're one of your favorite singers. I think your favorite artist did a song entitled One Step Up, Two Steps Back.
Two Steps Back, absolutely.
And that's exactly what is happening here. And the fact that they will negotiate something and it will be on the table and then they will come back and say, ooh, you know what, we want this or you won't get that. It's like, wait a minute, that was already agreed upon. Now you're taking it back. It's
a whole lot ugly is what it is.
It is.
On the details. But back to Chip's call from Villa Park. Because first of all, Joel Quenneville stands alone, right? When you win three titles and have the run you did within 10 years before all the ugliness came to light in the past year.
And Chip didn't mention Phil Jackson.
See, he went back 30 years, right? I mean, he said, you know, as far back, I think he said 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
I don't know if he was just talking about professional, how he handled
himself. Well, see, that's what I thought. But then when we brought up Lovie Smith, he said, no, and he brought up his record. It's like, yeah, you know what? I think those are two different things.
Who was quarterbacking for Lovie Smith? I mean, the defense did that was Lovie's specialty, right? Taking away the ball. And he pounded that into their heads, and they actually bought into it and did it, and the peanut punch and everything else. And they won because of their defense. I mean, God bless Jay Cutler, and I know he's a friend of the station, but he was your best quarterback in the last 30 years. And he went through about 40 of them while Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were up throwing the ball in Green Bay. So,
right.
So, if you're going back 30 years, well, then, okay, now you're bringing Phil Jackson into the conversation. He had the greatest player of all time at the time in MJ. I think Lovey's in that conversation because his specialty was what carried the team to a Super Bowl. Although you know, decisions that were made within said Super Bowl.
Right.
Cost you the game too.
But so, as far as his, Chip's original point is professionalism and relating to the players and, yep. and having the players play for him. Yeah. He has to be in the conversation.
You know, I covered Scott Skiles for his time here in Chicago, and I think the players feared him more than respected him. But they were also the baby bulls, the try-hard bulls. Right. So, it was much easier to get guys just out of college like Kirk Heinrich and Lou Aldang and Ben Gordon and those guys who had not been in the league long enough to, you know, basically, you know, turn their ear or you know, tune out the coach. And so whatever successes they had in a rebuilding type, you know, they gave most teams most nights, a full effort and put them, you know, they were much better as a team than they were individually.
Right.
But I think in terms of professionalism, Billy Donovan certainly in that conversation because of the way he carries himself, the way players respect him, not necessarily fear him. And Phil Jackson, with the great talent he had. And Jerry Krause has to get credit for continually to find big men to plug in there and tweaking the roster and going and getting Dennis Rodman and all that. But, you know, Joe Maddon did do something on the north side that hadn't been done in over 100 years, whether there was petting zoos involved and
he's always going to get
and field trips.
He should always get that recognition because, right, no matter how he did it, he was able to achieve with the team that he led something we hadn't seen in many, many people's lifetimes.
He was the right guy at the right time and with the right approach, right?
And that's all you need, right, Brian? That's all you need, the right guy with the right approach at the right time. Yep.
And there's a shelf life on that, right? 3 years into it, they didn't want to go on the theme trips anymore. I get it, right? But it was a young enough team when he came in that they're like, hey, this guy's keeping it light and try not to suck and all the T-shirts and, you know, the Mona Lisa with spray paint on it or whatever the hell it was. I mean, it got old after a while, but at the time, everyone in this town ate it up. I mean, anyone who was a Cubs fan and certainly most of the guys on that team certainly were buying into it.
Yeah, you know what, Brian? A point that I just thought of as you were talking about this. Yeah, Maddon's act wore thin. Maybe Lovey's did. We certainly know that Joe Quenneville's act wore thin with some players. The only one that didn't was Phil Jackson that we know of. Because he was basically not brought back. It wasn't because the players stopped playing for him or anything that he did wrong.
Well, because you know what? They were allies because no one liked Jerry Krause. So Phil didn't like Jerry Krause, and the players, you know, MJ certainly didn't like Jerry Krause, and neither did Scotty. So that, you know, they was like, we'll do this in spite of Jerry, even though Jerry gets, you know, a lot of credit for being the architect of all that.
But he was also the guy that started ripping it apart, too.
Yeah, no, he was easy to dislike. I mean, he just was. Yeah. I mean,
312-332-3776. We're about to get into a break that will eventually take us to Jesse Rogers, who will talk to us live from Jupiter, Florida. I'm sure he is tanning himself. He's got his sunglasses on, waiting for something that probably won't happen. As we've talked about, the league basically said, look, if we don't come to an agreement on Monday, the regular season will start being compromised, games will start getting canceled, players will make less money, trying to think that that will jumpstart something. But you know what? Whose side are you on? I know that there are a lot of people that think the owners are the problem here, and I am definitely one of them. 312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls after we talk to Jesse, and that's going to happen in 2 minutes. It's Xander and Hanley here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back.